The following is a paid program. Gold Coast Broadcasting is not responsible for its content.
We're News Talk 1590 KVTA Ventura.
Tom Smith receives additional compensation for his participation during this paid program.
It's time now for Divorce Lisa Zonder Style. Now, here's your host, Colin Fluxman.
Hello again, and welcome to our weekly divorce talk show, where you get the chance to talk to our panel of experts. Lisa Zonder, our divorce attorney, and Jerry Cohn, our financial guru. Hi, Lisa and Jerry.
Hello.
Hi.
Feel free to call us on 805-650-1590 or email Lisa at divorcetalkradiocalifornia.com right now. And this segment is brought to you by Quadro Counsel, Inc., focused exclusively on the division of retirement benefits. And this week, we focus on property division and retirement. Lisa, a question for you. I assume most of our listeners know that under California community property law, it's 50-50. Would you explain how that works, please?
You just did. And of course I will. In our state, everything gets divided equally to the extent it's community property. So you'll recall comedian Eddie Murphy's joke, Half Eddie. A very simplistic overview, the Reader's Digest version, is that all of the property that we acquired during our marriage is presumed to be community property. On the other hand, the property that you acquired before you marry or after your permanent separation is going to be characterized as separate property, and that is also true of gift or inheritance. There is a joke. I don't know if you've heard this one, Colin, since you're the joke expert here. When we divorced, we shared the house 50-50. She got the inside. Go ahead and fill in the rest. Come on. I got the outside. If you and your spouse get rights to a retirement plan during your marriage, these also are going to need to be addressed in the division of property. And a pension, as we'll hear from Louise Nixon, can be more valuable than any other asset in the divorce. So these need to be addressed in the division of property and could even be worth more than all of the other assets put together in the divorce. So it's really, really critical that you have the right person to help you with that. And most family lawyers will actually consult with specialized attorneys. We call them subspecialists for handling their division of retirement accounts. And it's a really technical area of law. And so for this reason, we've invited Louise Nixon to be with us today.
Right. And according to the Department of Labor, more than 48 million private wage and salary workers are currently covered by employer-sponsored pension plans in the United States. Whether and how to divide a participant's interest in a pension plan are often important considerations in separation, divorce, and other domestic relations proceedings. And as Lisa has just said, here to answer these and other questions, Louise Nixon. Hi, Louise.
Hi, how are you?
I'm
how
good,
is
thank
everybody?
You. Very good, thank you. It's good to have you on the show, and thanks for taking your time to do this.
Hi, Louise.
Thanks for having me.
Louise, first tell us a little about yourself and your practice.
Thank you. Yeah, I do is divide retirement benefits and divorces. I've been involved in this field for about 20 years. Previously, I was with a legal counsel for some major pension plans, and now I just work exclusively in dividing the retirement benefits for family law attorneys and their clients in divorce proceedings. So it's a very little niche that I'm involved with. And when I say retirement benefits, I'm talking about any sort of deferred income, whether it's a 401k or a savings plan or a defined benefit plan, which is a type of annuity where it's a monthly pension over a lifetime. So there's a lot of different types of plans, and they're private plans, as you mentioned, the 48 million private plans for private companies, and there are also public plans, California teachers and California employees, federal employees, military, they all have plans too. So it's a lot.
What made you decide to go into this exclusively?
It was my first job out of law school, but it turned out to be a really great fit for me.
It's obviously very stimulating for you, right?
It is. There's a lot. Thank you for asking. It is for me, maybe not for a lot of other people, but it is really interesting. And what people don't realize is family law attorneys will have in their judgment of dissolution, the non-member spouse gets 50% of the pension, and they'll maybe name the pension. But that will not secure the non-member spouse's rights to that asset. In fact, if what's called, what I do is call, draft these qualified domestic relation orders, and the acronym for that is QDRO, Q-D-R-O. And so if those QDROs aren't done and the member dies or retires, the non-member spouse could lose that entire asset, and it doesn't matter that the judgment was written the way it was. So it's a huge concern and liability for, you know, for family law attorneys, and it's also should be a grave concern, especially for the non-member spouse, because there's some real issues with getting it done if especially if a member dies.
Can you explain in layman's terms what QDRO or QDRO is?
Well, okay. Well, it's a type of court order that complies with federal law. That's for the private plan.
Mm-hmm.
So there in the federal law, there's a it's in this. It's actually in the tax code, and it's also in a code for the Department of Labor called ERISA that governs everybody's health insurance and pension benefits.
Okay.
And so, for instance, COBRA and all those issues are dealing with the Affordable Care Act's different, but all those are in ERISA. And so that law preempts state law, but a QDRO, if a court order that's filed in state court meets the requirements of federal law so that it's quote-unquote qualified, then the plans will be able to pay benefits directly to a non-member spouse. So, for instance, you got O.J. Simpson's pension. Nobody can get at that pension because the law, federal law, takes grave, you know, they take great concern in making sure that nobody can touch somebody, not even creditors, any sort of judgment creditors can't get at these pensions, just a participant and beneficiary.
That's been highly publicized that you mentioned that now. O.J. Simpson.
Poor the Feldmans couldn't get at it. So it was a real problem. So, but there's one exception in ERISA, and that's the world I live and breathe in. It's you can get a qualified domestic relations order for a spouse, former spouse, child, or dependent. You can actually do a QDRO for support. So you can get it for marital property and support, and the only people that it can be paid to is a spouse, former spouse, child, or dependent.
Louise, I'm sorry to interrupt you at this point. We have a lot of interest in what you're discussing. We have Bob on the line from Newbury Park. Hi there, Bob.
Hi there.
You have a question for Louise.
Well, I do. I want to know if a QDRO is the only way to divide retirement plan benefits, or can we do something else? Something that's better.
No, it's the only way. I suppose that what happens in some cases is they'll have the whatever the benefits are valued by somebody who's like Jerry. Is Jerry there? Jerry values pension.
Yes.
And 401ks and such. And so actually, I work with Jerry Cohen on a lot of cases, But if it turns out that the parties could do an offset where, Bob, you keep your 401k and your ex gets the cars or whatever, then that happens all the time. And then I'm not brought into the case. So I guess that's the one workaround. But in terms of dividing the asset, if you're going to divide it, you're going to need to speak with someone like me.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Bob. Jerry,
you had a
comment about that? Louise, how do you divide governmental pension plans? We were talking about private pension, now government pensions.
The government pensions operate differently. I mean, there's some similarities in the rules, but it's a whole different arena, trust me. I mean, there are issues, a lot of issues with federal employees and with military, DFAS, dealing with them. It's a lot more difficult to deal with those government agencies, especially OPM back in Washington, D.C. So if things aren't done right in state court, there could be some real draconian effects on getting the pension benefits, especially survivor benefits for the non-member. And then the state plans that you've got the teachers and any government employee has probably at least two plans. That's another thing is that a lot of parties in the case, and many family law attorneys don't realize that they're probably, if it's a mid to larger company or any government agency, there's probably two plans. There's probably a 401k, it's called a defined contribution plan, where there's just a lump sum amount of cash and you can divide it. And then there's also probably a defined benefit plan, which isn't going to show up on any sort of statement because it's primarily employer funded. And so you're not going to see it on a W-2 statement or any, you know, if somebody's searching for assets and wondering what sort of pensions there are. So so that's another thing is that people should watch out for is make sure you know all the retirement plans that are offered by any particular employer.
You're listening to Divorce Lisa Zonder Style, coming to you each week on AM 1590 KVTA from 3 to 4 p.m. Our number is 805-650-1590. We're discussing the property division and retirement issues that divorcing couples face. And here's how to ask your questions. Call us on 805-650-1590 or email Lisa at divorcetalkradiocalifornia.com.
Whether and how to divide interest in a pension plan are important considerations in separation, divorce, and other domestic relations proceedings. The professional law corporation, Quadro Counsel Incorporated, is focused exclusively on the division of retirement benefits.
Thank you so much for all of your help with my messy divorce. I know that you went above and beyond what anyone else would have. I truly appreciate it.
Since 1994, the firm's founder and president, Louise Nixon, has specialized as a Quadro attorney. Call Quadro Counsel Incorporated on 888-760-7376 or email contact at qdrocounsel.com. That's contact at quadrocounsel.com. Quadro Counsel Incorporated provides Quadro services for plans governed by federal and state law and has staff that is fluent in Spanish, Mandarin Chinese, Taiwanese Chinese, and Tagalog, Filipino. Call 888-760-7376. 888-760-7376.
This segment of Divorce Lisa Zonder Style is brought to you by Quadro Counsel, Inc., focused exclusively on the division of retirement benefits. On the line is Louise Nixon. Louise, why should I retain an expert to prepare a quadro?
Well, if you're a non-member spouse, you absolutely should, to make sure it's done right and you get your share of the pension. And, you know, ideally it should be done, I like to be brought into a case before the final judgment of dissolution is filed. Because a lot of times, because family law attorneys, they're not experts. Family law attorneys have to know so much about so many different areas of law. They can't possibly keep up with this particular area, which is vast.
Yeah, I agree with you on that, Louise.
I know. I admire you guys so much. And So it's really a good thing if I'm brought at some point towards the end, because a lot of times more often than I'd like to see, I get a judgment where the division is asking to do something that the plan can't do. And so then you open up a whole other can of worms that's additional expense for the parties to fix it. So aside from the other issues of once they're divorced, the quadro's not done. If a participant dies or decides to take money out of the plan, I mean, there's no real way there's no secured rights to the asset until the quadro is done by the non-member spouse.
Jerry, I have a question for you. What are the income tax issues that occur when an IRA or an IRA is transferred?
There are quite a few potential tax issues, and it depends on somewhat the type of plan. There's different type of plans that you get a tax deduction up front, and so you're going to have to pay that back somewhat on taxing it when you take the money out. There's other IRAs that are you don't get a tax deduction, so it has a different or no tax benefit or rather liability at the end. So some of it does depend on, first, what type of plan it was. Generally, any type of plan other than a few types of IRAs are going to be taxable. The other part of the tax we have to be concerned with, if you're under 59 and a half, there could be a penalty in addition to the tax. The tax is whatever tax bracket you're in. The penalty is 10% on the federal side and 2.5% on California. So you could be giving up a hefty amount of the retirement distribution that you're, you know, think you're getting a dollar for, and you're really getting, you know, 40 some cents for.
Right.
So it's important to understand that before you make a decision. It could have an impact on what Louise is talking about. You may want to adjust a division of the property through the Quadro on a different plan. So if you're, if that's the only place you can go to take money out, you may want to take a look at that ahead of time and estimate what the tax may be.
So are there ways to avoid tax and penalties if these accounts are transferred to a spouse and or withdrawn to pay expenses?
The transfers...
Well, with,
yes,
with
Louise?
The Quadro, well, with the Quadro, you can transfer the funds to an IRA and there are no tax consequences. That's the whole point, to one of the points. To there's no tax consequences for either side. But I did want to comment on what Jerry was saying, that with a Quadro, with a, not an IRA, I have to be very specific here, but with any sort of qualified retirement plan, if the non-member spouse wants to take funds directly as cash, meaning that he or she does not want to roll them over to an IRA, then under the tax code, there's an exception where there's one, very few exceptions, one-time chance where the non-member spouse can withdraw the funds as cash and pay taxes, but there is no penalty for being younger than 59 and a half. So if a spouse is, a non-member spouse really wants the cash, it's a good time to do it, because once he or she rolls them to an IRA, rolls the funds to an IRA, doesn't pay taxes, but then wants to withdraw the funds, if he or she is younger than 59 and a half, then those funds will be subjected not just to taxes, but also to the penalties.
You're listening to Divorce Lisa Zonderstyle, coming to each week on AM 1590 KVTA from 3 to 4 p.m. every Saturday. Do you have any questions about any aspect of your divorce? We have divorce attorney Lisa Zonder, divorce CPA Jerry Cohn, and our special guest today is attorney Louise Nixon, specializing in qualified domestic relations orders, or Quadro. And we have a slew of emails for our specialist today, and we'll be back right after this.
Need a lawyer? The Ventura County Bar Association's Lawyer Referral and Information Service is a state bar certified referral service dedicated to finding you the right lawyer. The County Bar Association is a non-profit corporation providing this referral program as a public service, which meets the American Bar Association standards. If you need legal help, the LRIS can place you in touch with a qualified lawyer who will assist you with your problem for a reasonable fee of $35 for a 30-minute consultation. Call the experienced professional staff at the County Bar Association at 805-650-7599, 805-650-7599, or email bar@vcba.org. The right call for the right lawyer. The Lawyer Referral and Information Service. 805-650-7599.
And today we're focused on the Division of Retirement Benefits. Louise Nixon on the line. Louise, why not just use the model language often provided by a plan administrator?
Well, good question. I get that a lot from people who get something sent from the plan. The plans, a lot of the larger plans, not the smaller ones, they'll have sample language and procedures. They're required to have procedures. They're not required to have sample language. And that language is drafted to benefit the plan to pay the least amount possible. Secondly, it's drafted to benefit the participant in most cases, in a lot of cases, not in all of them. Some of them are perfectly fine. And then lastly, it's drafted to pay the minimal amount to the non-member spouse. There are issues in the model language that, you know, that are left out that I would deal with as somebody who lives and breathes this stuff. So, you know, I just wouldn't recommend it, because you can't rely on it really meeting the needs of the non-member spouse. And there are times that it actually hurts the participant. So it's just a vehicle for the plans to be able to pay the benefits in the minimal amount possible, in my opinion. But some of them are great. Some of them are not that way, and they're fine. So I'm not knocking all of them.
Yeah, Louise, as a family lawyer, we get a lot of clients saying to us, but my husband, who he's the participant or the employee, he told me that, you know, I can just go online and fill out some, you know, template, and we don't have to pay anybody for this. What would you say to those clients? I mean, other than what you have just said, it's such a complicated thing with people. They don't want, you know, it's hard to explain to them or justify why, you know, we need a specialist to do this, but I completely agree with you. I just don't think they know.
I say a couple things. You know, one is this is a major asset, so you probably want to do it right, you know, for spend a little bit of money in light of the amount of money at stake. But secondly, I look at a lot of those, I'll just fill it out and I can take care of it, and it is either done right or the other side wants me to look at it, and they're a mess. They're not done right. Even understanding the concepts behind what is written in the choices in the paragraphs that are provided, they're not making the correct choices for that their particular case. And there's sometimes it harms the participant who's trying to figure it out. Also, if the employer happens to be out of state, there's a lot of times those actually don't reflect community property law. So, for instance, the time rule division, is it done the way it's supposed to be done in California? That's a way that you can divide a defined benefit plan. So there's a whole slew of issues, I tell people, well, you get what you pay for. So, you know, I mean, there's a lot of problems.
Well, speaking of which, Louise, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but we do have an email here from Barry in Camarillo speaking about you pay for what you get. I found a Quadro service online that will prepare my Quadro for less than your firm or any other Quadro firm. Tell me why I should not use the online service and save some money.
Well, I can tell you this, Barry, that I get a lot of those people after the fact because their Quadros are a mess. And so I'll just say you get what you pay for.
Right. If you have any questions for our panel of experts, call 805-650-1590 or email lisa@divorcetalkradiocalifornia.com. That's lisa@divorcetalkradiocalifornia.com.
Are you and your spouse at the stage in your life where it's time to move on? Divorce is very stressful and can present a minefield of obstacles. Attorney Lisa Zonder can help you through this process, providing a number of legal options, like traditional court divorce and out-of-court options such as mediation and collaborative divorce. One call to Lisa will set you on the path to a peaceful and economical resolution that is focused on your family. Call 805-777-7740, 805-777-7740, or go online at zonderfamilylaw.com, zonderfamilylaw.com.
I was impressed with Lisa Zonder's knowledge and professionalism, and I'm grateful for her affable attitude through the process. I'm happy with the final product.
Contact Lisa Zonder today, certified family law specialist, State Bar of California Board of Legal Specialization. Call 805-777-7740, 805-777-7740, or go online at zonderfamilylaw.com. Mention you heard it on the radio, and your first consultation is free for local and qualified clients. Call 805-777-7740. Lisa Zonder at 805-777-7740 or email lisa@zonderfamilylaw.com. Consultations are granted based on appropriate qualification as determined by Lisa Zonder. Her practice is limited to family law matters in Ventura and surrounding areas.
Our telephone number is 805-650-1590 right here in the studio. We're live to take your calls. If you'd like to email, we can take those too. lisa@divorcetalkradiocalifornia.com. I have an email here from Tim in Westlake Village, and this is for either Jerry or and Louise. I have a pension plan provided by my current employer. I'll receive a monthly pension check when I retire. However, I'm not eligible to retire for several years. Since I cannot receive any of the funds at this time, I assume that my spouse is not entitled to any of my future pension. Is that correct? Jerry,
well,
Louise?
Well, no, that's not correct. For the most part, for any private ERISA plan, and I don't know what if it's federal, there's different issues with that. But for any private plan, as soon as the participant reaches earliest retirement age, which for the most part is 55, there are plans that have it younger, the non-member spouse can start receiving his or her share as of that earliest date. There are reductions And it doesn't affect the participant share. They basically, what you do is draft the quadro as a separate interest quadro. And so the non-member spouse could start receiving his or her share at age 55, adjusted for actuarially for the age, and it's paid to the non-member spouse, her community interest, for the rest of her life. And then the member can retire at any time. And so it's really a great way to divide this asset, so one side is not beholden to the other, waiting to retire, et cetera. So it generally will work that way with most ERISA plans.
Yeah, the other issue I look at that you mentioned is that there may be a separate and our community property portion of the plan. So we'd want to look at that too. Everything Louise said is important to do. And the only other issue may be if some of the years before they were married, there's some contributions. And in addition to what else has to be done, we may want to allocate a certain percent to separate and a certain percent to community, and the community portion would have to be divided in some way, as Louise mentioned.
On a slightly different track, but in the same ballpark, we have Mark Levin. He's on the line, a certified appraiser with over 17 years' experience evaluating all types of personal property and business, and that does not include real estate. Mark deals with divorcing couples in evaluating their household, including all the furniture, the cars, the furs, the yachts, the diamonds, everything. Mark, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Good to have you on board. What types of appraisals do you, in fact, do?
Well, I do everything, almost everything, except for real estate and land evaluation. I'm a personal property appraiser, which means any of the tangible assets that are not real estate or land.
So how does one go about choosing the right appraiser for the job? I presume you are the right appraiser, but how does one...
Well, I am in most cases. It's important to know that the appraiser that you're choosing knows the extent of area of items that you need to be appraised. For instance, I do coins, but don't do stamps. I do collections of all types, which no one else seems to want to do, but I've been doing those for years. I do model trains, but when it comes to certain categories like fine art or gemstones, I'm not a gemologist, so I don't do those. And I don't pretend to know about certain categories. If I don't know the category, I will not accept the job. So that in choosing an appraiser, it's important to know that you tell them up front what you need appraised and also the purpose of the appraisal. A lot of this is for donations and charitable situations, so you have to be qualified to do that, which I am.
Mark, I believe you've had some very unusual appraisals. Can you tell us about some of them?
Well, the iguana.
What's that?
Six-foot female iguana,
wow,
which is a large tree lizard. I was doing a business evaluation and a divorce content of the home also. So I'm in the office of the gentleman who owns the business, the husband, and I hear this racket in the background, and I can't seem to figure out what it is. So after about 10 minutes, I said, "What's the noise I'm hearing?" He said, "Well, look over my head." And there was a 12-foot cage above his head that had this iguana in it. Now, this is a big iguana, 6 feet. So he said, it's time for the iguana to do its thing, you know.
Yes.
So he opens the cage door. The iguana comes down a set of stairs, goes out the front door, and lays cow pie excretion on the lawn, comes back in, climbs up the stairs, and he's going to sleep now.
Wow. And that must be a very valuable creature, I presume.
They run somewhere between 300 and 1,000 for most of them.
Mm-hmm.
There are some that will run up 5,000 or 6,000.
Tell us about the largest sewing thimble collection.
Well, I got a call one day, and the woman was in desperation. She was moving into a mobile home park, and the insurance company needed a certified appraisal of the value of her sewing collection, of her sewing thimble collection. Now, to be honest with you, I've never sewed in my life, but I said to her, if you can't find someone that's a master in this, and I knew no one would be able to help her there, I said, I can do this, but it takes a little bit more time to figure out the values and become more familiar with the subject matter. And I was able to do that, and she thanked me over and over again. And from that, I got other symbol collections.
I would imagine.
These are valuable. Some of these symbols are quite valuable.
Yeah, I can imagine. And two, I believe you've stumbled across a huge shoe collection.
I'll say it again.
A shoe collection?
No, it wasn't even a shoe collection. It was a divorce, and a husband and wife. The first night I sat down with the people, I had to figure out the business evaluation along with the assets of the business and then all the contents of the home. And the husband piped up and he said, if only you didn't have 132 pairs of shoes. And I'm sitting there blank, not knowing what he's even talking about. So I said, well, wait a minute, the shoes don't enter into this. That's her personal property. It's clothing. He said, yeah, but she bought all these shoes and they're very expensive.
You're not referring to Imelda Marcos, are you?
Well, similar, yeah. So the next time I come back, he pipes up again with this. And then she accuses him of having money hidden in the garage. He was self-employed.
Okay.
So she gets pissed off. Pardon me. She gets upset.
That's okay.
And she said, come out to my car. She had a brand new Cadillac with a monster trunk. She opened it up, and there were 12 pairs additional of workout shoes that matched each of the 12 outfits that were in the car.
Wow, okay.
He went so ballistic that he went out to the garage and brought in the money that she accused him of having because it wasn't as much as she had thought it was.
So you probably get a bit nervous when couples get animated and upset and excited. So have you brought in law enforcement into any of your appraisals?
Yes, the attorneys in the beginning will let you know, good attorneys will tell you up front, we've got a problem. I can't seem to get through this. We need you to get through it no matter what. And we'll post a marshal. If you feel you need a marshal at the front door, then we'll post a marshal or a sheriff at the front door. So I went on for a couple of years, never had it happen. But then the attorneys that I was dealing with said, you need it for this one. So I had a marshal come. Marshal Stan introduces himself. Goes out the front door, leaves the front screen open so you can hear, and he said to me, there won't be any problems. They never have a problem when the marshal's here or when I'm here. And then I had another case where we got through most of the house and we got to the Christmas tree ornaments. And they started throwing everything at each other. And I had to call the police. I couldn't control it. It was out of control because they were throwing dishes. And I thought, I better call the police. Somebody's going to get hurt, and then I don't want to be part of this.
Yeah.
And sure enough, the police came. They didn't arrest either party, but they did. At that point, we terminated the appraisal. That's all we could do.
Mark, I'm going to ask you to stay on the line. We're going to come back to you. You've obviously got some very colorful and interesting stories to share with us today Divorce Leases Under Style, AM 1590, KVTA. We're on the air each Saturday, 3 to 4. If you have any questions for any one of our guests or on any divorce-related issue, call 805-650-1590 or email us at lisa@divorcetalkradiocalifornia.com. Back to you, Louise Nixon, on the line, and we're discussing the Division of Retirement Benefits. Louise, why should one get a quadro now rather than wait until a former spouse retires or one needs the money?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's the one caller that aside from what I said previously about that the non-member spouse could lose the pension, I mean, that would be enough motivation to get it done and get it done right. But but the other reason is they can't get the money right then. For defined contribution plans, which are like the 401ks, the 403bs, a savings plan, money purchase pension plan, those are some of the titles. You can get that money right away, and you can also get it as cash, as I discussed previously. But for the annuities, lifetime benefits, which are defined benefit plans, if the member is over 55, the non-member can start early, and that's a huge windfall. I mean, it's not a windfall in the sense that there is an actual reduction, but if the non-member spouse needs the money, it's a great opportunity to be able to start that community interest and have it be a smaller amount basically paid over a longer period of time.
We have another email. This is from Sarah in Ventura. We have several IRA accounts, and this is for either Jerry or Louise. Do we have to divide every account 50% to each of us?
I could start with that. No, you don't have to. And in fact, as Louise's been explaining about some of the different costs and the options, it's usually not the best way to do it. If it'd be maybe the extreme side, but if someone had several different types of qualified plans, instead of going through the time and expense of a Quadro for each one and maybe even getting an evaluation for each one, we could try to divide the total amount. And again, go back to, is there any community or separate property? We always look at that. But I would, as most of us do, and I know Louise does, always look for trying to find the most cost-effective way to help the parties get what they need.
Lisa, if I may ask you to help us understand, why is separate property at the time, what is separate property at the time of the divorce?
Separate property is anything that you own before you are married and anything that you have after you separate. And so it seems pretty straightforward. It also could be anything you get during the marriage by way of a gift or an inheritance. Also, if you have passive income from your separate property, that would also be separate property even during your marriage. So for example, if you come into the marriage with a rental property and you have tenants sitting in there and paying you rental income, that rental income also during marriage would be your separate property unless you did some things with it to change that. But generally speaking, that would also be separate property. So in family law, you know, when we want to figure out whether property is joint or separate, we typically start by asking the question, when was that property acquired? Or in plain English, did you get it before marriage or during or after? That's kind of the easy way to go.
So how do spouses determine their date of separation for the purposes of divorce?
So it's really important to be able to figure out what the date of separation is, because the assets that you accumulate after your date of separation are going to be your separate property. So you want to know when you start accumulating that separate property. So any income that you earn after that date will be separate. Under California law, what the courts are looking for to be separated, you need to have more than just a rift between the husband and wife. It's more than just a fight or an argument. The way we look at it is it happens when the parties have parted ways and they have no present intention to resume their marriage. The case law on this topic is fairly complicated. It talks about a complete and final break in the marital relationship. And it's not the fact that you live in the home together isn't enough. It doesn't matter if you live together or you live out, if someone lives out of the home, either way, that's not a determinative factor. And there's one case on the date of separation that has stuck in my head since law school, and it's probably just a geek in me that I even talk about this case in an exciting way, but it's called Marriage of Beregree. And there, Mrs. Beregree, the wife, continued to do laundry for Dr. Beregree, who lived on his boat. And the good doctor, he got an apartment, he had a girlfriend, he eventually got an apartment with the girlfriend. He kept his mail, though, at home, you know, directed where his wife was, and also his voter registration. He and his wife, they filed joint tax returns, and the good doctor paid all the family bills, and the court found that they hadn't separated, even though they were living in two separate households. And so what the courts are doing, they're looking at the party's conduct, the objective factors, in order to determine whether they have a complete and final break in the marriage. And so the court described the doctor's life as a captain's paradise, savoring the best of two worlds and capturing the benefits of both,
right,
which I think is an apt description. So, but they also, what was important for them is they focused on the fact that wife was still giving her services over to the community and the husband was benefiting from that in some way. So during the period that spouses preserve the appearance of being married, they both get to reap the benefits. And so all of their earnings would be community property during that period. So even if you're filing a petition for a dissolution, it's still not a slam dunk that that's going to be considered your date of separation. If the parties continue to have marital relations, if they go to counseling, the court's actually looking for a final break. So even if wife files a petition, the court doesn't look at that as a determining factor any more than the fact that they live in two separate households. And what the courts described was, you know, they understand that there are idiosyncrasies of human relationships. And there are other cases, you know, that go into that as well. But I would just say, Colin, one last point, because I know this is an important topic. You know, there's a brand new case hot off the presses from the last few weeks that's called Marriage of Davis, just came out in the Daily Journal. And in that case, the California Court of Appeals said that the date of separation can occur years before parties actually physically separate. That's kind of a new thing. Usually they're looking for later dates of separation. And I think this is a reflection on the economy now, where people are staying together in the same house, largely for financial reasons. So in Davis, the couple lives in, you know, in the same household, but they're living in separate bedrooms and they lead very separate lives for 5 years before anybody moves out. And so they're each paying their own expenses. Wife's taking care of the finances and she's keeping records, but they're basically interacting only on a limited basis, only as it relates to the kids. And wife testifies to the court and she says, you know, I had declared to my husband that the marriage was over. I only stayed in the home for the benefit of my kids and I only interacted as I needed with him. And so the trial court didn't find the date of separation to be when, you know, husband finally moved out. Instead, they looked at the fact that they were behaving, you know, as if they were living separate long before he moved out of the house. So that's really an important point. That's a brand new case. And, you know, one article I read quoted Yogi Berra and said, it ain't over till it's over, which is
yes.
kind of funny, too.
That's true.
So that used to be kind of the way it was looked at in Berrigree. But, you know, maybe the tide's changing a little bit in terms of this Davis case.
We have on the line Louise Nixon and also Mark Levin, a certified appraiser with over 17 years' experience. Mark, just back to you for one last question, if you don't mind. How do you distribute tangible assets?
Well, it works out this way. A number of cases that I've had in the past, there was no will. When there's no will, and you have, in one case, I had six siblings. Another case, I had five daughters. Now, the six-sibling case, they were from all over the United States. I mean, each one had an attorney, and they were all fighting for the same types of things. When I sat them down all together, and I said, we've got to get through this because it's costing you a fortune just to keep arguing over things, I used a method that I presented to an appraisal conference that I went to that just won over everyone. It was two methods that I used. One is to draw straws by size to see who's going to go first. And there were six of them. And so, you know, the straws were all six different lengths. You run through the first six. The first one gets his or her choice. The next one gets his or her choice. Then you reverse it. The seventh pool would be the last one that it had in six. So it equalizes out over the process. The other method is if I find that, which we did with the five daughters, if I find there's money in the family and there's no question about how much money people are willing to spend to get the items, then they're all fighting over the same items because the mother promised each of the daughters as she was dying each of the same items. So that became a problem. And so I used an auction method whereby I start at a premature price that's usually double what the value of the item would be. And I work it backwards. I offer it to the first person at this price and then come down $50 to the next person, another $50 to the next person, and go through it that way. And I've solved a number of no-will cases this way.
Mark, can we find you online? Do you have a website available?
I don't have a website, but I can be found in the the best way is Ventura directory, and I can give my phone number in that.
Yes, please go ahead.
All right, the best way to reach me is actually by phone. It's 805-644-3202. It's 805-644-3202. And as you probably know by looking at the information I had sent, I actually have a Northern California office also up in San Rafael, which is Marin County.
Right.
And the same phone number will go to both places.
So Mark, thank you very much for joining us today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
You're listening to Divorce Leases Under Style on AM 1590 KVTA. We're going to get back to you, Louisa. Please hold on if you don't mind.
Going through a divorce is never easy. It's not only emotionally draining, but the many financial decisions can add to your stress. For over 25 years, Ventura-based Stephen Wagner, certified financial planner of Wagner Financial, has been helping people just like you make smart decisions when emotions can sometimes get in the way. From planning your retirement income to investment management, Steve Wagner can create a roadmap that you can understand and follow as you embark on your new life. In addition to providing clients with access to informative financial content and useful tools, Wagner Financial will make you feel more confident
concerned about your financial stance now and in the future. Call 805-339-0760 for an appointment. That's 805-339-0760 or log on to wagnerfinancial.com. For that one-on-one personalized financial attention, call Steve Wagner Financial on 805-339-0760. 805-339-0760. Stephen H. Wagner is an investment advisor representative with Transamerica Financial Advisors, as well as securities and investment advisory services offered through TFA, member FINRA, SIPC, and a registered investment advisor. Wagner Financial is not affiliated with TFA.
Divorce Lisa Zonderstyle on the line, Louise Nixon, and we're discussing the Division of Retirement Benefits. Louise, thank you so much for joining us. I have just one or two more questions for you. How does the death of either party impact benefits payable under a quadro?
Well, that's one reason that you really do need a good expert to know what they're doing, because that's the critical, almost as important as the actual division, is to ensure survivor benefits. And there's a whole slew of issues. I mean, that just generally speaking, if survivorship language is not stated properly in a quadro, then the non-member spouse will not get them. And so that what that means is participant will die and non-member's interest will stop. I mean, that's one reason to do the separate interest quadros, which I talked about previously. And I did want to say one other thing, Colin, is that I do quadros all over California. I'm actually for ERISA plans, for federal employees, I do them out of state. So in terms of location, I do a lot in Ventura and Santa Barbara area for whatever reason. I have a lot of family law attorneys that send to me. So I generally, everything is done by phone, fax, mail, and email in terms of getting the work done. But I just wanted to throw that in there.
Yes, please. Can you please give us your online address, your email address as well? Your website.
Well, I mean, the website has a lot of, my website has a lot of information on it. It has frequently asked questions, and that's quadrocouncil.com. That's QDROCOUN as in Nancy, SEL.com. And I've got news and articles and frequently asked questions that I generally refer clients to the frequently asked questions, because they have no idea what. Why am I calling? Why do I need this? All the questions that you've been asking me.
Yes.
And a lot of those are answered. And the length of the process, I mean, that's another big question, is how long is...
Yes, I was going to ask you that. How long should it take? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's a process. And I have to say, you know, in terms of our office, it's not... There's, the delay isn't on our end. But we're telling people now, you know, 4 to 6 months to get everything done from beginning to end. We, if the parties want, we'll actually, if it's stipulated, we'll file the quadro, we'll serve them on the plan, we'll make sure that they know who to contact. We'll do everything from A to Z to make sure it's done right, because I have to say, I saw too many times when I was a plan attorney where the quadros were done, but they were never filed or they were never served, and it just killed me as an attorney for the plan, because when I would get the call is after the participant retired or died, and there were a slew of issues, and sometimes it was too late to get the money to them. So I try, if it's possible, to make sure if people want to retain me to take care of the whole thing, and I'll do it. And so the courts right now, because of, and Lisa can speak to this, but because of all the cutbacks in California, it's horrible. Now it's taking me at least 2 months just generally to get the quadro back from court if we use our normal attorney service.
Yeah, if you're talking about the LA courts, and Ventura is processing just a little bit faster than that.
Ventura is actually better, and Santa Barbara is better. So that is a good thing. It's still a problem. And what I do is when I'm retained to do a quadro, I generally, if it's possible, will send the quadro to the plan to get pre-approval, just to make sure that they're not going to ask for any changes, because I don't want, once it's filed, for the parties to have to go back to court if the plan wants any changes for whatever reason. So that part of the process takes about 30 days. So that there's a reason for the delay, because you're dealing with the plans, you're dealing with the parties who sometimes disagree about data separation, as Lisa was talking about, yes. And I need to have a firm date, or sometimes there are issues between the parties that they still are working out, so there are delays for that reason, and then there are delays with the court.
Louise, thank you so much for joining us today. We've learned a lot, and we hope to have you on the show again soon.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you, everybody.
This segment has been brought to you by Quadro Council, Inc., focused exclusively on the division of retirement benefits.
Whether and how to divide interest in a pension plan are important considerations in separation, divorce, and other domestic relations proceedings. The professional law corporation, Quadro Counsel Incorporated, is focused exclusively on the division of retirement benefits.
Thank you so much for all of your help with my messy divorce. I know that you went above and beyond what anyone else would have. I truly appreciate it.
Since 1994, the firm's founder and president, Louise Nixon, has specialized as a Quadro attorney. Call Quadro Counsel Incorporated on 888-760-7376 or email contact@QDROCounsel.com. That's contact@QuadroCounsel.com. Quadro Counsel Incorporated provides Quadro services for plans governed by federal and state law and has staff that is fluent in Spanish, Mandarin Chinese, Taiwanese Chinese, and Tagalog, Filipino. Call 888-760-7376. 888-760-7376.
You're listening to Divorce Lisa Zonderstyle, broadcast each week, 3 to 4 p.m. on AM 1590 KVTA. Call 805-650-1590 if you have a question about your divorce. Our regular panelists are Lisa Zonder, a divorce attorney out of Westlake Village, and Jerry Cohen, a divorce CPA. Lisa, an email from Scott in Thousand Oaks. Is there any chance that my separate property can lose its character and be considered a community property asset?
Yes, that's possible. It's called a transmutation when that happens, and there are family code sections that address that. We don't need to go into detail, but spouses can enter into agreements to change the character or the nature of their property. That can be accomplished by either a transmutation agreement or a postnuptial agreement. If clients sign a prenup, and I don't know what Scott's particular situation is, so I'm going to talk just generally, that reflects their agreement to change the character of property, the courts are generally going to uphold that agreement and honor it. So in a contentious divorce, the property might need to be traced back to its original source. There may be disputes around the character of property. And yes, sometimes you can do things to commingle property and cause some confusion around whether it's separate or community, and it could lead to arguments at the divorce.
Can you give examples of the types of assets that are generally divided during divorce?
Yeah, there are lots of them. I mean, Louise Nixon just talked about one that could be very valuable, which is the retirement benefit. Also, you'll look to, when you look at all the different assets in divorce, the severance pay, if there is any stock options, business and professional goodwill. To the extent any of these assets are earned during the marriage, you need to get some detail on them, some paperwork, and understand all of the different angles to them. But education and training, as an example, is not a community property asset. So some people assume that because in other states that may be, but that is not in California. Community may be entitled to some kind of a reimbursement on the education and training under some circumstances. And also the typical stuff that people think of in divorce that would be community would be their house, the artwork, the furniture and furnishings, all the stuff, the
cars. 6-foot iguanas, right?
The iguanas, yeah, anything. Iguanas, yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure what people have, but yes. There are also some really important things to think about when you think of assets traditionally and conventionally. You don't think about certain things that are considered hidden assets in divorce, and that would be like accounts receivable. What about accrued vacation or sick time, bonuses, capital gains,
season tickets,
commissions, deferred comp, depletion allowances from oil and gas interests. It's interesting how long this list can be. You can look at depreciation on assets, disability benefits, military benefits, reimbursements that people get from employers, rental property income. Did we say airline mileage? I don't know if we said that yet.
No, we didn't. You
did. Okay, retained business earnings, salaries, Social Security benefits.
Is there a list anywhere where one can actually access the list and see what is included in this?
I have some kind of a list that I provide to clients, but I'm not sure. Maybe if you do some Google research, you might find some. But yeah, I mean, the list goes on and on, and it's always good to remind your attorney you know, when you have your consult, and or if you're self-represented, to think about what other assets have I not considered in the dissolution.
Just slightly off track, and have you considered, or have you had the experience in a mediation perhaps, where there's been some kind of contest as to assets in your own experience in mediation, just generally speaking? Has there been a lot of, have you had experience in that area?
That they have a contest on these
well,
types
argument
of
about
assets?
About who belong, what belongs to whom.
Oh, yes, absolutely. People mm-hmm. have arguments about that all day long.
Is that a major aspect of mediation?
Oh, yeah, it's the you know, meat and potatoes of what, you know,
right.
mediators end up doing. Sure, absolutely. I mean, that's what we do. We work through asset and debt listings with clients. And the very first thing we do is go asset at a time, and then we go debt
right.
at a, you know, one debt at a time, and we try to help them figure out and brainstorm possible options for dividing up that property, which is what we've been talking about here.
So therefore, the definite advantage of mediation, obviously.
A definite advantage of
absolutely.
Mediation.
Absolutely. Jerry, a question for you about an IRA. If one of the spouses had an IRA before they were married and have continued to contribute to it annually during the marriage, is the IRA account considered the separate property of the spouse who contributes to the IRA? Just briefly.
Yes and no. That's a good example, as we talked about, with community and separate property. Generally, the contributions that are made before marriage would be separate, and the contributions made during marriage would be community. And there may be some exceptions, but that's a general rule.
Well, I'm afraid we've run out of time. That's it for this edition of Divorce Talk, Lisa Zonder Style. Thanks to our special guest, Louise Nixon, and our regular panel, divorce attorney Lisa Zonder and divorce CPA Jerry Cohen. Next Saturday, Stephen Wagner, certified financial planner of Wagner Financial, will talk about making smart financial decisions. Remember to check us out at DivorceTalkRadioCalifornia.com, where you can listen to past shows in full if you missed them. And like us on Facebook at Divorce Talk Lisa Zonder Style. I'm Colin Flaxman. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Tune in every Saturday at 3 p.m. for Divorce Lisa Zonder Style.
This radio programming is not intended to encourage anyone to seek a divorce. The producers assume that callers are seeking basic information. The radio program is intended to be an informational format and does not constitute legal advice. Anyone with legal, mental health, financial, or other professional questions is directed to retain a competent professional after carefully interviewing qualified
Here
professionals. A guest appearance by a particular panelist does not constitute a specific recommendation by the producers as to the expertise of that professional, nor does that panelist's views necessarily reflect the views of the producer.
Santa Barbara.